So I've been waiting a whole week to get Dr. Mark Baker back in here.
I know. And we're so blessed to have got him back in here.
I mean, real life Tina Pastore.
And David James.
And so Dr. Mark was our guest last week. And if you missed this, you've got to go.
Got to go to the podcast, Gina Pastore Radio or SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. You can hear, and his podcast, by the way, do phenomenal, Dave. I don't know if you've noticed that, but get a lot of hits. That's why I asked him back. It's just such inspirational, valuable information. So,
especially if, like I say, last week conversation and last time we had Dr. Mark, we had you here. We were talking forgiveness.
And he touched on transgenders.
Yes. Talked about that too.
Depression. Yes.
And we all might think, all right, Dr. Mark Baker, Levee Counseling, you know, a leopard can't change its spots. You know, we hear the idioms, you know. People can't change, but yes, they can. You've seen them at the state penitentiary in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about that. You're writing a book about it. But it comes down to one thing, humility, right?
Right. You've got to be humble and vulnerable. You've got to be open. If you're not open, and God can't force you to change. He gives you an opportunity to change. He respects us. God says, I've got all the power in the universe to transform you, but it's up to you to decide, are you going to be humble, and are you going to be open to that? Can you be vulnerable? And if you can do that, almost anyone can change, I'd say. There are certain people who we think literally have something wrong with their brains that's broken, that keeps them from being able to have any conscience. We call those people psychopaths. Right. And we don't really know why, because we haven't really understood. Those people, they still could receive Christ. Yes, they could do that. But there's something that makes it extremely difficult for them. But that's a very small percentage of the population. For the absolute most of us, absolutely you can change if you're humble and you're vulnerable. You can. Mm.
And it seems like the hardest people to deal with a lot of times are family members.
Right.
So that's why tonight we're going to get into dealing with difficult family and family members.
Great
this is
topic.
Something.
And what do you call that? You call that prison? What do you call it?
It's a different kind of prison.
Different kind of prison.
It can be prison. Like a prison, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we just had holidays, and I don't know how many stories I heard from people about, I'm dreading this, I have to be with my family, or they're coming home to visit, and it's hard, and this is a hot topic. So
it is.
Yeah.
Especially after the holidays. January, the phone rings off the hook at our counseling center. Yes, because people are with their families, and they're reminded. They maybe see family members that they haven't seen for months. They're reminded of the dysfunction of their family and the frustration and the
anger.
And
it taps into your childhood stuff, doesn't it?
And everyone starts acting like they did when they were 16.
Yes.
And then you're mad at yourself because you went there.
Yeah.
And it's just a mess.
Yeah.
And so they call me. That's what happens every January.
It keeps therapists in business.
It does.
Right?
But I say about May, Dr. Marks, he's on a cruise somewhere. I'm taking care. I need a break. January.
Yes. But I mean, we're laughing, but this is a very painful topic for people. And I mean, even I will kind of give you some insight, glimpses into my life. Frank and I lived after we eloped and married, and he was in the big leagues. We bought a home in my hometown, a block and a half from my mom and dad.
Ooh, nobody gave you any counsel on that.
No. And did you ever see Everybody Loves Raymond?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There you
Except
go.
We were, my family was the loudest family in town. Everyone knew about our family. But anyways, so we move a block and a half from these loud, dysfunctional. We're all dysfunctional, right?
Yeah, everybody is, yeah.
And let's just say it was very difficult for me, and I often will say to people that was, even though I love my parents dearly, it was one of the hardest things and why did I put myself through it? My other three siblings moved away.
Uh-oh.
Catch a clue. That's we did
right.
it.
You
so,
didn't know.
Anyways, rule number one is rule number one, I should ask, is that the first golden rule, not to live real close to family, or is that really the way to go?
We generally say it's got to be a half a day's drive. That's what we say. Because if they're going to come see you, it's got to be an event, right?
No, that's smart.
Got to be serious. I mean, we got to spend the night, so we're not just going to pop open the back door and show up.
Hey, honestly, my parents didn't even knock. They just came in.
It's,
okay.
It was their back door, too. That's right.
Yes.
Now, that's a problem. Because, we're supposed to leave and cleave. And how do you do that when your parents are still there?
Yeah.
And even if you did move thousands of miles away, which is what I did.
You
still have them in your head. And that's really the parent that you have to deal with. It's not, well, for you, you had to deal with both.
Right.
You know, the one that's still giving you those voices in your head that are criticizing you or telling you you're not supposed to have an opinion or can't feel. And we all have to deal with that, dealing with the dysfunction. And everybody has it in every family. But it results in some painful reactions eventually, where you end up doing one of two things. Either you blame your parents for why things are not going well in your life, or you blame yourself, you know, for why things didn't go well in your childhood. And blame either way is not helpful. It just doesn't help, because blame really takes the position that I'm powerless, you know, and so I'm going to blame my parents for why things are the way they are. And blame looks in the past. It gets stuck in the past. Like for years, I was mad at my dad for something he did when I was 14, and it haunted me for many, many years because I was looking in the past. And what really is more helpful psychologically and biblically is accountability. That's what we need to do in dealing with our parents. We don't need to blame them or ourselves, which doesn't help, but sometimes we do need to hold people accountable. Mm. And what that means is accountability is forward-looking, which means, okay, how are we going to do it from here on? I know how we got here, and we all know what happened, and Dad used to drink and all that stuff. What are we going to do from here going forward? And that means sometimes you need to set boundaries.
Boundaries. Yep. Whoa, yeah.
You need to maybe decide to get that house that's a few hours away. there's certain things we need to do to address the need for accountability in our relationship with difficult family members. But blaming doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Blaming doesn't help anybody.
Well, in my case, going to counseling was helpful because I was doing a lot of blaming prior to going. Mm-hmm. And then when you just go to sit in your therapist's chair and you're allowed to go back and deal with these things, mm-hmm. and talk about them and mm-hmm. deal with them. And that really does help.
Right. Absolutely.
It begins to give you the freedom to release it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
See, that's really important. And people get that confused. They think, I don't want to come in here and complain about my parents because I don't want to blame them. But no, I think it's because you do blame them that you don't want to talk about
it. Right, right.
So you need to get that off your chest. Let's go through all of it in detail.
Yeah.
And if you come in to see me, we're going to talk about your mother. I just guarantee it. That's what we're going to do.
Yes.
Not to blame her,
but
so you can understand what happened and you can take responsibility for it.
Yes.
But you can't do that if you don't talk about it.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. People need to talk about their childhood, talk about all the things that they're blaming their mom for, and the therapist will help you get off the blame and onto accountability and onto responsibility. But you got to talk about the feelings. That's the critical
thing. Does that accountability work in all facets? Like even with someone who's narcissistic where they're just so, I've never done anything wrong, and you just need to, I'm just who I am, and you got to leave me alone. I'm going to treat you the way I want to. Mm-hmm. That accountability, does that work all across the board, saying, look, this relationship, this is what it's going to be? Setting the boundaries, accountability?
Yes, it does. Now, you have to set the boundaries according to the person. So, yeah, let's say you've got a really narcissistic parent who sees that they've done nothing wrong and everything is your fault. I mean, you know, my dad said that to me once, and I said, and I want you to forgive me for the things I said when I left home, and I want to forgive you. And he said, I have nothing to be forgiven for. Yeah, that was a showstopper. I wouldn't expect you that. You
know? Yeah.
Wow.
I was raised by John Wayne, so it's a little bit that dates me as well. But yes, what we can do is then figure out what accountability means for that relationship. It's not me making him agree with me that we both saw my childhood the same way. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's going forward, what kind of boundary do I need to make this relationship work? That's because the purpose of accountability isn't to end the relationship, it's to make it work. Mm. So I figured out, okay, now when I fly home to see my parents, I figured out 3 days was the max. I mean, that's just kind of, that was what would work.
Yes.
So that was my limit.
Yes.
I lived far enough away that they couldn't walk in my back door.
You had an easier time at Angola prison than
No kidding.
Oh, man.
Accountability was clear there.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But yeah, you know, with certain really difficult people, you need to decide what those boundaries are. And again, it's for the purpose of having a relationship.
Right.
I'm trying to preserve a relationship here. If I spend more than 3 days with you, this is going to, the wheels are going to come off. And so we need to figure out, you know, what we can do, what can be said, what can't said. There's a time to say, okay, this conversation needs to end, and we're going to pick this up again tomorrow at 9. I'll talk with you about it then. Those kinds of things. But right. Yeah, boundaries are for all relationships.
Whoa.
I've got to set a boundary here. We've got to go to a break,
Gina.
We have
to go to a break.
I hate that. I'm setting a boundary. Unhealthy. Thank you, Dr. Mark Baker, LaVie Counseling.
And I can't wait to get back to the other side of the break on this topic. So.
Yeah. All right. LaVie Counseling, LaVie, LaVieCounseling.org, the KKLA helpline as well. Because if you're thinking, yes, I need someone to talk to, 800-801-5242, 800-801-5242. We'll be right back. Gina Pastore and David James, Real Life. Gina Pastore and David James. Remember that scene in Christmas Vacation where the mom's there at the counter and going, it's Christmas, honey, the holidays, and we're all miserable. And she's taking a knife and chopping up the lettuce and everything?
Yes.
I mean, I need some practical stuff about how the nuts and bolts of this whole relationship works.
I mean, here it is now. The holidays were over. A lot of us were with a lot of family, and we got those old feelings going and those difficult people. So where do we go from here? That sounds like a song, by the way.
it should be, if it isn't. We all have to wrestle with this, all of us. And as I said in the last segment, me too. I mean, I believe this because I've lived it, that we have to set boundaries. We have to figure out how to love our family. And not everyone can do business. Now, some of our family members, we can talk with them about how it felt. So part of accountability with certain family members is to say, listen, when you did this, this is how I felt. This is, you didn't know this, but this is what it meant to me. And then here are the consequences of that. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I need from you in order for us to reconcile. So that's one way of holding someone accountable who can do business with you. And you know who those family members are.
Yeah.
Maybe a sibling, you know, or one parent who maybe can hear your feelings. And that's the critical thing. So that really is reconciliation, which we talked about before in part of forgiveness,
right,
with family members where I've been hurt, I want to reconcile with you. So there's certain family members now in January you might need to go to and
yes,
say, you know, when you did that, I felt this. And
right. Why is it so important to say, I felt this?
Right. That's critical because if you just say, when you did this, the other person feels blamed.
They get defensive
immediately.
Right.
It's just in our nature to defend ourselves when we feel blamed. Most people don't go, oh, thanks for sharing that. Gosh, you're right. I was really a jerk.
Especially a parent hearing it from your child. Yeah.
Parents tend to not like to get corrected by their children.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah, even adult children. They don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you don't want to say, well, you know, you made me angry even. You want to say, I felt angry, because mm-hmm, that softens it.
Yes.
Because they can't argue with that.
Right. And
if you say, you made me angry, they're going to say, well, no, I didn't. You know, nobody can make you angry. That's your fault.
Right.
Then they can argue. But if you say, well, I just want to let you know that I felt hurt. And also, too, when you want to hold that kind of an accountability reconciliation conversation, you want to talk about the vulnerable feelings underneath the anger. And that's a real cue for you.
Yes.
If you're angry, it's for a reason, and it's your responsibility to get to that reason.
Right.
You're hurt, you're scared, you're frustrated. Those are the three big ones. And if you say that, you can have a productive conversation. Like, when you said that, I was really hurt. Now, they can't argue with you. And I just need to let you know this was the consequences. Now, going forward, this would help us reconcile. This would help us make amends here, you and I. That's one way of holding certain people accountable.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
Now, with the more difficult parents, it's kind of a one-sided conversation. They can't do the business with you of going back and forth. Really, it's honoring your feelings. If they can't honor your feelings, then you just need to set those boundaries, you know, that we talked about before.
Yeah, go ahead and give us some nuts and bolts of that, please. Go ahead and, I mean, here people are shouting at the radio like I would be. Okay, Dr. Mark!
One is you need to set time limits. We talked about before, you need to decide how much time is the amount of time that works for my relationship with this particular person that I'm always going to have in my life. This is not about getting rid of people. It's not about ending relationships. It's about redefining them. Mm-hmm. Boundaries are about redefining relationships.
Yeah. So, and don't you find so often people, because I used to do this before I went to counseling, if I had had it with a person, they were done.
Right. Yeah.
And now I'm able to redefine and all
correct.
That. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's not setting a boundary. That's blowing it up.
Yes. You know? That's what I
so
would
Gina
do.
Knows that for this particular family member, she's got 2 hours and that's it.
Yeah.
The rest of it, you know, okay, see you next year for 2 hours.
That's good.
That might be the boundary.
That might be the boundary for a certain person. I know the wheels come off after a certain amount of time. And it may be a phone conversation. Maybe you've got a sibling that calls you and it goes on and on and on. And you know after so many minutes, we need to end this conversation. And the way to end that is you repeat the last thing they just said. So they're going on and on and on. I understand, yes. And I remember that time when Mom spanked you in the grocery store, and that was really awful. And now I really need to end this conversation. So you've repeated the last thing they've said, so they feel a little heard, and then now you can cut off the conversation. So that's going to better anyway with some.
Uh-huh.
But some, it's still difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a clue on how to set a boundary and a limit on a phone conversation that won't stop. And in particular, the listening, they want to know that you heard how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was really embarrassing for you when Mom did that in the grocery store. And now I really have to go. So you've given them something and you're kind of ending that conversation. It's a practical thing.
Yes.
Even when you're with family members, you need to take a break. It's okay to go for a walk. You know, it's okay
to
take a few minutes out of the middle of the conversation. There's practical things you need to do. And again, it's to make it work so you can clear your mind. If you have... If you have someone with you, a spouse or an adult child who's with you with the difficult person, it's good ahead of time to talk about it. I know this is going to be rough, so there's going to be some moments when I'm going to need to look to you for support. And really, all you need is that nod from the other person. Yeah, I know. She's doing it again. And that knowing between the two of you can be all you need. We just call it the knowing look, that someone else who's there who knows what you're talking about will keep you from, you know, screaming.
Losing it. Yeah.
So there's several practical things you need. We all need support in dealing with difficult family members. And believe me, if you've got a difficult family member, other people know it.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can maybe have some honest conversations with them about how to deal with that.
What if you're the one who's difficult?
Yeah, see, that's what I was going
to
ask.
You're listening to this broadcast right now, and it's always so easy to, they're difficult. But
the other person,
what are some clues that you're the one who's difficult?
If you're feeling convicted right now as you hear these words, you can make a vow right now to change. You can say right now, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's on my heart. I need to stop being the difficult person. Mm-hmm. And you can make a vow right now to stop that. You can stop teasing, you can stop bullying, you can stop talking over people, you can make a vow to stop. Now, I know it's not going to be perfect because we're not perfect, but you can make that vow to God and to yourself, and you can share that with another family member. You know I've been difficult to talk to, and I'm really feeling that God wants me to change that. So I just want to let you know I'm working on that. And then people can help you with that. They can help support you, you know, in making that vow to change.
Yes.
Wow, that comes back down to the humility aspect again.
We came full circle, didn't we?
Humble enough to be able to say, you know what? Hey, I admit, you know, I haven't been who I needed to be in this relationship. Gosh, that takes two people, though, Doc, doesn't it? I mean, to really have, you know, it's one thing about setting up boundaries and accountability, and we've talked about this again, but I think it's so important. A lot of people equate the forgiveness aspect with the reconciliation of, everything's going to be okay, so just come back into my life and abuse me.
Forgiving someone does not necessarily mean, hey, the gate is open now, you can come in and do whatever you want.
Carte blanche to abuse me, right.
Jesus set boundaries, you know, even there were people there who needed him there. I'm dying, I need you to be here for another healing, and he said, I got to go. I got to set a boundary here. I got to go pray. So he set limits, and he would come back later, but he would model for us what healthy living means.
I'm just struck here as we're talking too, as a parent, it's so important. And there's been times when my kids have told me, Mom, when you said this, that really hurt me, you know. And, you sort of want to lash out like, I didn't mean that, or I was joking, or
you're
whatever.
You're too sensitive, right, yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know, Frank and I really practice listening to our kids because we were hurt by our parents.
Good.
So, you know, just loosen that pride up a little bit and listen.
And to truly say, you know, I'm sorry.
And don't say, I'm sorry you were hurt.
Oh,
say,
yeah,
I'm sorry I did that. Because it's kind of insulting to say, I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
No, you need to say, no, I'm sorry I did that.
Or I'm sorry you heard it that way. Or
Yeah, that's condescending.
Yeah, it is.
Just hearing you say that way, Gina.
Yeah.
you didn't even offend me.
I heard that a few times in my life.
Yeah.
So are there ever going to be anyone in your life that's just so doggone, just thick-headed, that you just say, you know what, this person just, I can't be around this person?
Sure. Mm. That happens. There are times where you've had, maybe that you had an uncle who molested you, you know, and he's not repentant. I mean, maybe he says he is, but you know he's not.
Right.
Maybe there are people like that. Maybe someone robbed you or beat you. You know, you might want to... you do want to forgive them, but that doesn't mean you need that person in your life. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that I wish well, and I pray that God blesses them, but I don't need that person in my life. We're like oil and water. We are not good together.
Right.
And that is absolutely something that you need to know is true. We don't live with resentment. God knows that that hurts us, so forgiveness is essential. But that doesn't mean you give permission for people to keep running over you in their life with their evil choices.
And that is not Christianity.
It's not. No, it's not.
Yeah, there's some bad teaching on that.
No, Jesus did not live that way. I model myself after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that model.
Right.
The fact that he would surrender to God and even to us is different than getting run over.
Yeah.
He did not allow that. He communicated that he was in control and he was all powerful, and yet he still had the humility to serve. That's what humility is, a service, not lack of confidence.
Right.
Boy, Gina, I hope that we, you know, first off, you know, do a lot of soul searching ourselves and how we need to be humble, and maybe if there's someone that we do need to ask forgiveness of, that we step up to
exactly.
the plate and we say, look, I'm sorry for wronging you.
Yeah.
You know?
Always look to yourself and inside of yourself. Yes.
Well, look, Dr. Mark Baker, thank you for joining us. We could go on another.
You know what?
Forget about the next program.
I always say this to him. He needs his own show.
Yeah.
He's just too good.
Unbelievable. So thank you, Dr. Mark Baker.
LeveCounseling.org,
the KKLA helpline as well at 800-801-5242. Well,
and his book, Jesus, the Greatest Therapist That Ever Lived, sold over 1 million copies, I believe.
Well,
yeah.
It has. That's right.
All right. So are you able to tell us about this working title that you've got for this book, or would you have to, like, sue me if you brought it up?
I can tell the book about the prison.
Yeah, about the prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called The God Effect, Changing Men for Good. That's the book I'm writing about the prison that we talked about
last week.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll see what the publisher decides.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, look, listen.
God bless you, Dr.
Yeah, thank
Baker.
You, Dr. Mark Baker, and for your faithfulness to Jesus and in the walk that you are on. So until next week, Gina.
Until next week, Dave.
See you on the radio, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.